We haven't even started.
Okay, cool.
Now help me understand this.
I don't even understand that question.
What?
Good, so this is a great introduction.
We talked about the big picture and the small picture. We haven't even started, which is sort of why we're here.
Life happens.
You heard it here first, folks.
It never ends and it never starts.
We're starting. We felt very intelligent. We said things that sounded a little pretentious. It was great.
Welcome to Self-Talk. Welcome back to Self-Talk. Welcome to Self-Talk.
Hello. Welcome to Self-Talk. We're starting Self-Talk.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Self-Talk. This is Barry Self.
And I'm Daniel Self.
And this is a little different this week because we're coming to you from Minneapolis and we're both in the same place.
That's right. Dad's out to visit for Thanksgiving here in this wonderful snowy city.
Yeah, I got to see White Christmas last night, and that was really enjoyable.
At the Orpheum Theater.
Yeah, the Orpheum. Very historic theater. It's beautiful. Been enjoying exploring downtown Minneapolis and St. Paul.
We went to the Mall of America today, the home, the heart of American capitalism in all its splendor.
And we got to go ziplining inside the mall.
We did.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Over SpongeBob SquarePants. So we enjoyed capitalism. That's great.
Yeah, that's right.
We had a good time. Yeah. So Dad's here for the week. So we're starting with this.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
Ferguson comes to mind. I mean, that's all over the news, and we've been talking about that. And
I know, just with all these things again. I'm thinking back to what you and Sean were talking about last week. It's so hard because I feel so. I never quite feel as though I have enough information to talk about the subject in an informed way. But then I suppose when it comes to getting the information needed, I don't really know that too. I mean, I know sources I can go to read people's opinions on it who are, you know, purported to be more educated. I mean, you know, people who have platforms, I guess I should say, people who have speaking platforms wherein it is their job, wherein people pay them money to give their opinion on things.
Yeah.
I know where to go to hear those things. You know, Jon Stewart, Bill O'Reilly, like, commentators that, you know, whose job that is. But I don't know where to go to get the information that they seem to get to give the opinions that they have.
Right.
Or I guess I don't feel like maybe
making
I don't
the
feel
effort
like
to do it.
Well, there's that, sure. But also, I think that it seems to me to be an overall matter of assembling information from a multitude of different sources over a multitude of time. Can you have a multitude of time? Is that a thing?
That makes sense to me. I know what you're saying.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you have a multitude of time and a multitude of information that is sort of
a multiplexity of time. How about that?
A multiplexity of time and information.
Okay, yeah.
So if you have a multiplexity of time and information.
I like that word.
Yeah, I do too. It's great. So then you take so that multiplexity leads to being an overall intelligent, informed person, which then I feel like allows you to have enough pieces of enough different systems of information that you can then.
All that to say, you have an opinion, but you don't want to say it because you don't feel well enough informed, right?
Sure, I think we all just have sort of snap instincts about different things, or at least snap ideas. But again, it just seems like shouting at the darkness. It seems like talking about things that, you know, I don't know. It's just always hard for me. I always end up looking at it and going, well, you know, I guess there's a lot of passion on all sides. And
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, then there are things I definitely feel very passionately about, you know, like sort of social justice issues that, oh, well, that's interesting. I guess that I just said out loud that I don't think of this as such a black and white issue, no pun intended.
Ha ha ha.
No, like no pun intended. I guess I don't see this as quite as black and white an issue as something like gay marriage bans, or because I don't think it's not about a specific piece of legislation. It's not about a specific right being challenged. It's about an overall right to
it's
equality.
About an overall social problem that we've had forever.
Right, right, and that different people see as existing in different ways at different times. I think that most, and again, I mean, it's so hard to talk about these things in a way that makes you feel that you're addressing the fact that you don't know what you're talking about, which I think is important to address when you're talking about an issue like racial inequality, when we're two white guys who don't have any direct experience in a situation like that.
Right.
So I guess that also comes into play with this specific issue. It's like, I just, it seems so beyond me to imagine that sort of circumstance, to imagine being in that sort of position in that sort of circumstance, being in that sort of culture in that sort of position in that sort of circumstance.
Yeah.
That it just seems like...
Well, yeah. And just coming back to a specific, I really admired the family wanting people to be nonviolent in their expression and look at doing something that would actually make a difference.
Yeah.
That impresses me and amazed me, given their loss.
Well, I thought the piece of legislation that they wanted to put forward, I thought was very interesting. I wonder how practical it would be. But it seemed to me that ideally it would...
Which is what?
Oh, it's... what I read on BBC News the other day was that they were wanting to put cameras on all policemen's...
Oh, they're doing that already.
...jackets.
They're doing that already in quite a few for reasons like that.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's really cool. Because, again, then that's protecting the police officer as well.
Right.
In a situation where he can then be like, look, this is what's... Look, literally, look. This right. is the situation. You know, and then it just...
And I don't remember if in L.A. they're doing a pilot program on that. I think so.
Wow.
But yeah, they're doing that. They said, we have this technology, let's use it to make things more transparent.
Well, exactly. And rather than, you know, I mean, all the sort of hand-me-downs of like military-grade artillery and flak jackets and all the sort of crazy stuff that people have been talking a lot about as far as, you know, how police are being armed by sort of inheriting from their big brother the military, like instead of, you know, getting all of that, maybe they can get some military grade technology that can allow them, you know,
it's a possible solution, but then it raises the privacy issue again. What happens to all that data? So the police respond to a domestic violence call and they videotape the people involved in it digitally. Where's it going to be stored? How are they going to secure it? There's all these hacking things going on, and it raises some privacy issues for me. But, you know, I'm an older generation, and that seems to be more of an issue for us than it does to be for the younger generation.
Huh. Yeah. Well, privacy is an interesting one. The scale of the way we can view things is so global.
Right.
And so the world, in that sense, has gotten so much smaller. While at the same time, the population of the world has grown so exponentially.
Well, it's not even that. It's just the ubiquity of recording devices with smartphones and all of that. Privacy, as I knew it when I was growing up, is totally gone. And so then I ask myself, do we make more laws and do more things to erode that further? Or do we try and say, okay, in the areas where we can curb that, we will?
Well, I guess it comes back to me being a member of my generation. There is an interesting... The question does beg itself, why do we need privacy? And what kinds of privacy are important and why? Because that's a question that I don't really have a simple or initial answer for. I remember when I learned that George Carlin used to get in trouble all the time for being unwilling to carry a driver's license or a state ID with him.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Which I guess is a law. Like you're supposed to have ID on you at all times.
I didn't know that.
He felt that was compromising an aspect of his privacy, that he had to carry identification. And so, like, from somewhere like that to, you know, me, and I'm not even a big social media person by any stretch of the imagination, but I have a website with pictures, my email, I have a Facebook that I update with my location often. I mean, of course, when you think about a dystopia like 1984, you're like, well, of course, I don't want the government, you know, always being able to see everything I do and control it or anything like that.
Right.
But I guess where's the difference between government-controlled lack of privacy and... So I guess maybe that's what it is. That I want to be able to say when I want to be private and know that that's the case. But when I don't... So it's like with the whole smartphones and the social media, well, that's all sort of self-elected sacrificing of privacy, right?
Yeah. Well, also there... Just think of an idea off the top of my head. If you lose your temper over something, it's one thing to lose your temper and then, let's say, I lose my temper at you over something, and then I make amends with you. It's very different if I lose my temper with you and then it goes viral and everybody in the world sees that. Now the consequences of me having a human reaction are hugely multiplied. And it's like, okay, now everybody got to see that, you know, bad side of me. And they will treat me differently. They'll react to me differently.
Hmm.
And so to me, that's part of where privacy is.
It starts to create a sense of living under public scrutiny.
Right. And I get that as a teacher. I am a public figure. So I have more than, you know, John Q. Citizen. Isn't that a funny phrase?
I don't know that phrase.
Yeah, anyway.
What is that phrase?
I don't even know who said it first, so I can't attribute that. But
it just means Joe Schmo?
Yeah, right. There we go.
Okay.
Politicians now, I think, are under more scrutiny than they've ever been in their life. John Stewart had a great conversation. I don't remember who the guest was, but... Oh, it was Ken Burns when he came out with his documentary about the Roosevelts. He said neither of the Roosevelts could get elected today. They couldn't stand the scrutiny that we put politicians under.
Hmm.
And these were great people of their generation.
Right.
And they were deeply flawed. He admitted that. And he said part of why I wanted to do the documentary is I wanted to present both.
Yeah.
But they brought a lot of good along with their flaws, but they would not get elected today.
Right.
It'd be impossible. So anyway, I don't know. I'd like to look more at privacy, too, and think about that before we talk
next time. Well, I guess one of the things that I find so curious and difficult about this country today is, you know, everyone's talking about, I mean, Sean talked about gridlock last week. Everyone's talking about, you know, how diametrically opposed, you know, we are in this country. But I think what's fascinating to me is to look at...
Well, I'd clarify that to say how gridlocked and polarized our political system is.
No, but
is.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm not talking about the political system. I'm talking about the people.
Hmm.
And I think evidence for that can be found even in simply... I feel as though... And I don't know if this was always the case, but I don't feel like it was. But I feel like now... You can really look and see that there are two parallel histories being told, you know, day to day. If you look at, again, at the sources where people get their information.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and sort of the most easily archetypical sources that I could name would be like, you know, some people listen to Bill O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh. And some people listen to Jon Stewart and National Public Radio. And I don't know personally... And I've not heard of anyone anecdotally who listens to any combination from both sides of those sorts of sources.
Mm-hmm.
There is just a huge segment of the population that turns to certain outlets for information and certain sources that turn to others. And it creates such a different baseline that I don't even know that a conversation between the two sides can even begin to start between people who get their information from one side and people who get their information from the other.
Well, that's been a big shift over the last 20 years that I've seen. You had people like Senator Kennedy, who was a Democrat, and he made deals with Republicans to get things done, and there were Republicans that made deals with him to get things done.
Right.
And the idea of compromising to get something done was considered what you did as a politician. Now it's like a four-letter word.
Right.
You compromise? Oh, no, we'll throw you out of office.
Right.
And so it's become very polarized.
The
idea of being able to speak to someone who has different views than you and still engage with them, even though you may disagree.
Sure. But I'm saying...
It happens less and less and less.
And you think that that's what's led to this weird different informational source... dichotomy that exists?
I think they're symptoms of that.
Huh.
And kind of come out of that idea of, I think when we're afraid, we fall back into black and white thinking. And so we've had a lot to be afraid of financially and then globally with,
attacks,
military threats
and
attacks.
Stuff and, right.
And so people fall back to their ideology and ideological purity,
which is emotionally based,
in times of fear and trouble.
And we've had a lot of that.
And so I see people falling back to that and becoming more and more rigid.
Interesting.
In their thinking. And then when they do that, they make just like you do in a war, you make the enemies less human.
Hmm.
So you make the people who disagree with you. There was a book I read about, can't remember the title right now. Anyway, one of the things she said, she talked about error. She said, if someone doesn't agree with you, our first thought is, oh, they don't understand. So then you try and explain it to them better. Then when that doesn't work, they're stupid.
Right.
They're just too stupid to understand the facts. And then when they still persist, you know, they don't get that they're stupid. Oh, now they're evil.
Right.
And there's no place in most people's...
Catherine Schultz.
Yes, thank you, on being wrong.
Catherine Schultz TED Talk on being wrong. Yeah, yes. It's really cool.
And so...
That's a really good point that we don't often... Yeah, that we don't really think...
That we don't go, oh, this is an intelligent, thoughtful person who totally disagrees with me right now.
Right.
And that kind of connecting with them as a human being that has a totally different viewpoint is becoming more and more lacking in everyday life. And people don't see examples of it. So there's no example to follow.
Right.
So you just get more and more of, oh, you disagree with me. You're an idiot. You're wrong. You're evil. And that's what people go to.
Right.
And when people are evil, then it's easier to perpetrate violence on them.
Sure.
Bringing us back to what we're talking about in Ferguson and
right.
the police and what's going on there. I think that's happening on both sides of the issue.
Well, but, I guess that's what, coming back to it finally and actually talking about Ferguson for just a second, I want to watch this interview that the officer just did because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
But I feel like regardless of what happened that night, it's so obvious that all these riots are not about one kid being killed.
No.
It's about years and years of a feeling of inequality that does seem to be backed up by the data out there. Again, so much as it can be agreed upon, that it does seem as though being a black youth in this country...
Being
black in this country really puts you at I mean, and not that that can be made up for, not that there can't be exceptions, but overall, that being a black person in this country at all does put you in a position where you have to work harder for the same things that white people have to a certain extent. Well, not, but then of course there's the male female inequality that no matter what the numbers seem to be, they do seem to indicate that women tend to make less on the dollar than men do. So there is still just and then of course you have the 1% to the it's just there's so much inequality, and that inequality I feel is manifesting itself in one way or another under these circumstances where you know they're saying, okay, you know, this has happened and this is not okay, and this continues to happen, and nothing seems to happen about it to change it. So I guess that's what I would say, is that regardless of the specific situation, it seems as though the overall issue that is being addressed is very prevalent in this country and does need to be addressed, the sort of underlying anger that continues to exist about inequality and what can be done about that. And is that just a human condition, or is that something to be combated, or I suppose both.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a good place to wrap up.
Yeah, for the moment.
Talk more.
Well, right. Yeah, we haven't actually sat down and had a self-talk in a good long while. So that'll be good.
And we're together. That's really cool.
And we're together, yeah.
Well, it's been great. Thanks. And thanks for listening to Self-Talk.
Absolutely. I mean, I wasn't listening. I was talking. But
no, I'm talking to our listeners right
oh,
now.
Oh, I wasn't. I didn't
right.
know. Well, listeners, if you are out there,
yes,
thank you for being out there.
Yeah.
And we look forward to hearing from you if you would like to write in at selftalkpodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
I mean, I guess we won't see you soon.
We won't see you, but we'll talk with you soon.
Yeah, we'll be back in your eardrums, vibrating your eardrums very
soon.
I like
that.
Or, I guess that's it.
That's it. Good night.
Good night.